You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is the final day of the week, Friday, October 11th, 2019, and I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. So good to be with you today as we talk about the New York Jets against the Dallas Cowboys. It will be week six action Sunday at MetLife Stadium. It's a late afternoon kickoff. If you enjoy the show and would like it delivered to your device every morning, please subscribe. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast venue. And also leave the show a good review if you like it. It certainly helps us out. And thanks to those who have already done so. Well, it will be the Jets and the Cowboys Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Jets are 0-4, but they are getting their quarterback back in the lineup, so that's at least a positive for this team heading into this game. And the Cowboys are 3-2, but they are coming off two straight losses to teams that look like they're going to be in the upper echelon of the NFC. So disappointing for the Cowboys that they failed a couple of tests. On today's show, we're going to preview the game and look at some of the keys. So we'll do a key player, a key matchup, and a key to victory on both sides of the ball. And for my key player on offense, and I like to avoid this whenever possible because it's way too obvious, but I think this week it is Sam Darnold. And the reason I say I like to avoid this whenever possible is that most weeks the quarterback is like the key player. So it's kind of cheating, I think. But given the fact that Darnold's missed these last three games and just how bad the Jets have looked on offense in those three games, now they did not look great offense week one against Buffalo with Darnold in there. So that's something worth noting. But this offense has just looked like it's looked hopeless. As I read you the tweet the other day from Dan Jeremiah, where he said, you know, other teams can move the ball when they don't have their starting quarterback. You know, other teams can have success, whereas the Jets have struggled to get first to downs. So something has to change on this offense. A lot has to change on this offense. And it's not just going to be Darnold. I think that expecting Darnold to step into the lineup and fix all the problems with this team is not realistic, and I think it's not fair to Darnold. I think that lots of people need to raise their game for this one, for the Jets, because they have not gotten an acceptable performance from any, maybe Le'Veon Bell. I mean, there are a few people, but they have gotten an acceptable performance from almost nobody on this offense so far this season. That goes for the offensive line. I would even say the wide receivers, the tight ends, the coaches. I don't think anybody can be proud of the product they have put on the field, except maybe Bell. And, you know, you could probably name it one or two other guys, but it's been an ugly performance so far this year. But obviously one of the problems has been the quarterback position. When you drop from Sam Darnold to either a Trevor Siemian or a Luke Falk, you're going to take a hit, one would think. And Siemian did not play much, but he did not do anything when he had his opportunity during that brief stretch. And Falk did not really do much either. I mean, it's not all these guys' faults. When you're playing your backup quarterback, that's a sign that everybody needs to step up, and practically nobody stepped up for the Jets. But there are things Darnold certainly can do to help out. I think when you talk about the offensive line has to block better, but sometimes you have to deal with pressure as a quarterback, and I don't think Falk handled pressure very well. I think Falk did not show he has much pocket presence at all. You don't want to be pressured at the rate Jets quarterbacks have been pressured at. That's on the offensive line, but Darnold has shown through his young career at least an ability to work around to some extent. Now, any quarterback under pressure, he's going to take his share of sacks. Any quarterback under pressure is going to have his share of misfires, his share of mistakes. But Darnold has at least shown some ability during his young career that he can at least make a few plays here or there when pressured. So I think that will help lift the offense a bit. He's also shown an ability to throw balls into tight windows, to throw receivers open. He's going to lift the offense, and not just going to be him, but the Jets need better quarterback play. I think that goes without saying. And I think it's not realistic to expect only better quarterback play alone to lift this offense, but it certainly is the first step this team needs. And this team has clearly missed Darnold. And I think you have to consider what you've seen the last 3 weeks when you grade Darnold's performance on Sunday, because this is not an offense right now that looks like it's going to help him out much. So any performance, any improvement, I think, would be welcome. We'll go to the defensive side of the ball, and my key player is going to be Jamal Adams. I'm going to explain to you why, and I think this is going to be a kind of a similar theme as we run down all the key things to watch on defense. But Cowboys present the Jets with a number of matchup problems. They have the run game with Zeke Elliott, and they also have the passing game. The Dak Prescott to Amari Cooper connection has been pretty good this year. Now, they haven't been as great the last couple weeks, but Dallas can do a little bit of everything. They have a good offensive line. Now, it's not clear whether their tackles are going to play. Both their tackles are a little bit banged up and missed practice on Thursday, but this is a pretty complete Dallas offense, and the Jets have some personnel issues on the defense, which, and I think that makes it really challenging when you face an offense that can do everything well, because if you can't match up receivers versus corners on the outside, one of the things you do is you probably drop a second safety deep. But if you're struggling, if the other team has a great running attack, you may want to drop your second safety into the box and just play one safety deep. So I think that it's going to be a little mix and match. The Jets are going to have to guess right. They'll have to deploy Adams according to the situation to some extent. But Adams, I think, is going to have to move around quite a bit in this game. I think there are going to be times where he's going to have to provide deep help over the top. There are going to be times where he's going to have to drop down low and contribute against the run. I think for the Jets to win this game on Sunday, Jamal Adams is going to have to be one of the best players on the field. And he got off to I thought his pre-bye performance this year was not great. I think that I was disappointed in how he was playing the first 3 weeks. I think last week against the Eagles, we started to see the Jamal Adams of 2018, the guy who made second team All-Pro. So, hopefully after the bye, he's rounding into form a little bit. Also, he got some good news on Thursday, because the NFL fined him for that. If you remember that hit on Baker Mayfield back week two, that was kind of a soft call. He got penalized for it, and he got fined, and he complained about the fine. I think he was right about that. The NFL overturned his fine for that hit, so he's got a little momentum heading into this game off a good performance against the Eagles, off the fine that he thought was unfair being overturned. So good news all around for Jamal. Now he has to build on it, because he's going to have to do a little bit of everything in this game. He's going to have to help. He's going to have to help his corners. He's going to have to help up front against the running attack. I think of the two, the Jets are more vulnerable deep, so maybe he'll play a little bit more deep, but he's going to have to be all over the field. I think that for the Jets to win, it's going to have to be like one of those games where he just fills up the stat sheet, makes impact plays left and right, and maybe a game-changing play, maybe a forced turnover or something along those lines to give the Jets a short field at least once. Locked On Jets podcast, getting ready for Week 6 action in the NFL. It will be the New York Jets and the Dallas Cowboys Sunday at MetLife Stadium, a late afternoon start at the Meadowlands. We are looking at some of the keys for the game. Now let's go to a key matchup on offense and a key matchup on defense. I think that on offense, I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell against these Cowboys linebackers, particularly Leighton Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith. And I think these are very talented Cowboys linebackers. They've been underperforming a little bit the last couple of weeks, though. These are some of the few linebackers in the league who conceivably could match up against Bell. And look, it's not just going to be Bell against these guys. Again, you talk about how everybody needs to elevate their game for the Jets on offense. This offensive line needs to get a lot better. This offensive line has not been run blocking even at a competent level. They have not been pass blocking even at a competent level. It's really limited what the offense has been able to do. It's one of the reasons the Jets, the issues with this team have gone beyond quarterback. So, if the offense doesn't block better, none of this really matters. But I think this is kind of an interesting matchup, because Bell is still, forget about what the raw numbers say. If you look at the eyeball test, Le'Veon Bell still looks like one of the best backs in the NFL. He's still a guy who could, if this guy had even competent blocking, he'd be putting up some great numbers this year. And the two Cowboys linebackers have, again, I think they're very talented guys, but they've struggled a little bit. Aaron Jones last week for Green Bay had a big performance on the ground. And the linebackers, if you go back and watch that game, the linebackers were frequently the culprits. They were making a number of mistakes. Now, I'm not expecting them to play that poorly again. I don't think you could. I'm not even sure they're capable of playing that poorly again, so I would expect them to bounce back with a better game. So, there'll be questions of can Bell break tackles. If you get them isolated one-on-one in the passing game, who wins? I think that that's going to be a pretty important matchup for the Jets. Bell is really the one premium weapon that the team has provided Sam Darnold with, so that'll certainly be one worth watching. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go the coaching matchup, and it kind of harkens back to what I said with Adams. Kellen Moore, who is the Cowboys offensive coordinator, got off to a hot start, and he's actually kind of become one of like the new hot name in coaching circles. I think he's actually starting to get a little bit of head coaching buzz, which might be a little bit premature because he's only coordinated 5 games and his offense is in a bit, little bit of a slump right now. His rise is pretty meteoric. I mean, he's gone from a player, you know, kind of a journeyman backup to position coach to coordinator overnight. Now guy getting some head coaching buzz versus Greg Williams, who of course is a veteran defensive coordinator guy who's had many stops in the NFL, a lot of experience. So kind of the new young hotshot guy against the old wily veteran, if you're looking for a storyline in this game. But it's a challenge for Williams again, because if you look at the personnel of Dallas's offense versus the Jets defense, I think you probably would have to conclude that Dallas has the upper hand here. This is a very talented, again, maybe injuries play a role in this. And of course anybody could have a bad game, but if you look at just these teams lining up across from each other, I think you'd have to conclude that Dallas has the advantage. And again, it is on paper. Now, they don't play the games on paper, but I think on paper, this is a very balanced Dallas offensive attack against a Jets defense, which A, has some issues when healthy, and B, is kind of undermanned because C.J. Mosley's not looking so great for his status in this game. And You're getting Brandon Copeland back, but I don't know how much help Brandon Copeland really provides off the edge, even if Dallas has to play its backup. So Copeland's not really a difference maker. And obviously the corner situation with the Jets, which has been an issue all season long. And Jets have actually gotten a little lucky with some of the quarterbacks they've played, because I think some of the quarterbacks have missed throws on the Jets. So I think in some situations it's going to have to be Williams really studying Dallas's tendencies and knowing which call to make before the play. It's going to be a little cat and mouse game, because you can't sell out against the run and sell out against the pass both at the same time. And it's one of those situations where if the Jets get into a lot of one-on-one situations, in many instances they're going to be at a disadvantage. So they're going to stay out of those. They're going to want, and really I think what it comes down to is tendencies, and part of this is winning early downs. I think winning early downs certainly helps out, because if you force the offense to the third and long, they become one-dimensional. It becomes easier to guess. You can kind of play against the pass. Other than that, though, and some of the early downs, I think for the Jets to have success, Williams is going to have to know Williams is going to have to stay one step ahead of Dallas and kind of take things to them. And I think that this is again, we're talking about how the Jets can pull the upset in this game. I think we're going to have to, if the Jets come out of this game victorious, if like by 8 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday night, the Jets have won, I'm envisioning this, I think we're going to look back, and I think we are going to be praising a brilliant defensive game plan for Greg Williams, where he stayed one step ahead of the Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore for the entire game. My bookie is fast and easy, and they pay when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Locked On Jets podcast on a Friday, getting ready for week 6 action in the NFL. Jets and Cowboys Sunday. Jets looking to get their first win of the season in Sam Darnold's return to the lineup. We've given key players and key matchups. Now let's look at a couple keys to victory. And on the offensive side of the ball, I think one of the keys to victory is making sure you can block Dallas's edges. And in an ideal world, you'd want your tackles to hold up one-on-one. But if that's not happening, the Jets need to give their guys some help, whether that's double teaming, whether that's adding an extra tight end who stays in, whether that's just having Bell chip as he's going out on his route. And it's tough to say, because it does provide you with a disadvantage. This is a Cowboys defense run by Chris Richard and Rod Marinelli, and these guys are of the Pete Carroll, Monty Kiffin school of defense, which means lots of 4-man rushes, limited blitzing, lots of zone coverage. So when you have to leave an extra guy in or you have to chip, that means that you're at a disadvantage, because typically this defense, they're only rushing 4, which means 7 guys are back. So if you're not using your full complement of 5 players who are eligible receivers, because you have to leave somebody extra in, you're really putting yourself in it because the defenders can clog the throwing lanes if you aren't giving yourself enough options. But that said, the goal has to be to keep Sam Darnold upright. You have to keep the heat away from Darnold. You don't want Darnold to get hit, so that has to be priority number one, even if you're sacrificing something, even if these tackles can't stand up on their own. And by the way, Brandon Chell, I'm going to say this right now, I don't understand what they saw last week in Chuma Edoga. I don't understand. He was not ready to be in the lineup. And sometimes after one game under your belt, guys improve a lot. But my feeling is that if Chell is healthy, he should be in the lineup this week. I don't understand what they saw last week in Edoga, because Edoga looked like a guy. And I'm not saying Edoga will never be ready to play. I'm not writing him off yet. But he does not look like a guy ready to play in the NFL right now. But I think, above all else, Jets need to make sure that these edges stay away from Sam Darnold. Even if that means taking weapons out of the passing attack, even if it means delaying their entry into their routes, which can disrupt timing a little bit. Again, you're sacrificing something. But I think the lesser of the two evils is I may sacrifice extra receivers in the routes. I may sacrifice timing if it means leaving Darnold, making sure Darnold has less pressure to deal with. To me, that's the number one priority. So, and again, it's less than ideal. You don't want to have to help against a four-man rush, and most of the time we're probably going to see a four-man Dallas rush. They'll leave a lot of defenders deep to try and play zone, clog the passing lanes. But I just think that the priority has to be keeping Darnold upright, even if you have to sacrifice things in other areas. And on the defensive side of the ball, it goes very much hand in hand with what I've been talking about the rest of the show about this Cowboys offense against the Jets defense. But communication needs to be at a key, and that's something that really needs to have happened in practice this week. This is not just a Sunday thing. It's something they have to work on, because Kellen Moore, the Cowboys offensive coordinator, guy who loves to use motion, loves to use shifts, and those things can cause problems for a defense. First of all, motion can force the defense to tip its coverage. And there's not a lot you can do with that. I mean, sometimes you can disguise stuff. So, like, say a receiver goes in motion, you have a defender follow him. If a defender follows him, it usually tips man coverage. What you can do is you can have your guy follow him and disguise it, and then actually have your guys drop into zone. You can disguise it to an extent, but generally speaking, there's not a lot you can do. But what shifts and motions do as much as anything is they've forced you to change your gap assignment. So you need to make sure there's communication, that there's no open gaps, that nobody's blowing anything, nobody's blowing any assignments. That's one of the things that can really create problems for a defense when the offense is moving guys around pre-snap and your assignment changes and there's miscommunication and suddenly a gap is left totally uncovered and that turns into a big gain on the ground. It's going to require a lot of communication. That's one of the reasons you do it, is you try and put stress on the defense. You force the defense to communicate in short time. So it's something that needs to be worked on this week. The Jets have film on Dallas, and there is now five games of film worth on Dallas. So trying to at least get a handle on what they do. They may break out some new stuff this week, but it's not like it's going to be you're going to be seeing stuff that's totally out of left field, stuff that's totally new, and that's stuff Kellen Moore likes to do. And I'm not going to use the phrase innovative offensive mind, because I feel like when you talk about an offensive coach and you call him innovative, that's become like the new version of calling a player elite. Like, every offensive coach gets called innovative, the way, like, you always hear about somebody, oh, that guy's an elite player. I mean, there's so many elite players in the league that it almost defies logic that many players could be elite. I'm not going to say Kellen Moore's an innovative offensive mind, but he's a guy who likes to utilize things like this, and he uses them to his advantage. So it's going to be important. He tries to stress the defense in this way, and it's important for the defense to hold up. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast source, and leave the show a good review if you do like it. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week to talk about this game and the New York Jets.